Yo, we're back. Another week at the corner store, Tar Mahadevan.
Kevin Koval.
How you be?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Less long day today.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't think that was English.
Less long day now, but that's okay.
It's like Yoda.
I'm really excited because we have a dope guest. You want to help to introduce our very fine guest?
Green Slime. Whose government name I don't know, but I'm not sure anyone else does.
Nobody
either.
Knows.
No, look. I mean, allegedly, he has one, maybe.
I can't tell you. They're going to look me up.
Yeah, that's
right.
Poor
name, Green Slime.
I got cases.
But it's fair to say you are a man of many talents.
Yes.
We're going to get into them. Not only are you a producer, a DJ, I first came to know you as a rapper, which we'll touch on, and also a producer and talk show host.
Hell yeah.
Amongst many other things. But before we get anywhere, you know, I want to know if you're hungry.
Hungry?
Yeah.
Like food?
Well, listen, I mean, accoutrements.
Talking about food?
Accoutrements from, with Tara.
The corner store?
Yeah.
No, shout out Marlena.
Okay.
She, you know, went to the corner store and picked up some snacks.
And we're unofficially sponsored by which corner store tonight?
Oh, actually, I don't know which
Bob's
one she went
to.
Okay. All right. So Slime, you have some options. Well, first of all, you could have the whole joint.
Just take them all.
I'm
going to
sell some of that.
All right. So you have, first of all, you have a artificially flavored Wildwood peach soda.
Ooh-wee.
Okay. That's the first joint.
Shout out to the Wildwood. Shout out to John Walt, too.
Pineapple Wildwood is my favorite song.
That's like a good Saturday morning.
That's such song, a good song,
you know, chill song.
You have the classic Flamin' Hots,
okay.
Crunchy Cheetos.
Breakfast.
True, right? So, that was part of your CPS meal?
Yeah, definitely, back in the day.
Right.
I used to get some breakfast and lunch, for real. I guess it would be lunch, dinner type thing.
And would you put...
Would you get the cheese, yeah.
On top?
With the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, true.
Now, what
Longwood
would you...
Longwood Foods, 111th Street.
What would you call that? What would you call that item?
Ooh.
Did it have a name?
Nah.
Because I've heard it called a walking taco.
Right, that's what I hear.
I'll just say, let me get some cheese on it. I don't know what I would call it.
And that would include
meat?
I
need to come up with a fancy name.
That would include meat?
Yeah, nah. Isn't it like, oh, cheese. I've seen it with meat and cheese
and
everything.
Yeah, either or.
Yeah.
But it just depends how hungry you are or how strong your stomach
feels. Very nutritious.
That day, you know what I'm saying?
And then you also have a, Marlena also got the Van Holten's hot pickle, and spicy flavor. So you already know what it is. I mean, I'm gonna slide them all just in your general direction.
Because I definitely like all these items, but I got to eat the pickle like off to the side, like, you know what I'm saying, at the crib, because people are going to be looking at me crazy. Just drinking pickle juice. And...
You drink the pickle juice?
It's delicious.
I mean, just a little bit.
Also,
it's like, oh, I shouldn't do this, but ooh, that's kind of good.
Yo, Marlena's the official snack picker.
Okay.
I need some of this Wildwood right now, though.
No, yeah, no, break it open.
I put it in the fridge, so hopefully it's still cold.
It was. It was chilly, okay, too, cool. The touch. Pickle juice is also good for a hangover.
I bet.
It reminds me of Pickleback. What's that? Pickle
yeah.
stick?
Yeah.
Pickle Rick.
Pickleback.
Y'all watch Rick and Morty?
Peppermint with pickle with the peppermint stick. Are you familiar with that? With those... With
pickle
that,
with a peppermint
it might
stick.
It might be before your time.
That yeah, that's like
that was before
60s,
they had
right?
sanitation laws. Yeah. Well, listen, I mean,
that's not like my mom.
Wait, whoa, damn,
right
wow,
there.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's how old I am. All right, man. So even before we get into who you are, I do want to comment on the immaculate fit you walked in with.
Oh, true.
That's right.
Can you talk about it?
I'm getting interviewed on Michigan Avenue in a WooWear coat. You know what I'm saying? Like it's 98, 97.
And is it that official? Is it vintage?
It's official.
Or?
It's 100% official. I was actually out of town, and my homie Molly, Molly Coleman, she hit me up.
Shout out to Molly.
And she was like, yo, I saw this WooWear coat, but it's a double XL. There's no way I could wear it. You need to get it. I was like, boom. Sent her the money. She grabbed it
but
for me.
But from where?
It was some website. But it's I got it. I saw her yesterday. She gave it to me like in a bag. It was like fresh. Looks brand new.
It looks brand new. That's why I'm in part so
shocked.
I got
to run it by the guys. I got to see, is it real?
It's real flea. I wish
it's
we know
be
that.
Real, you know?
Yeah. No, it's very important. I guess, I mean, even before, I is do you regularly pull off a fit like that?
Nah.
Okay.
Oh, you just, okay,
I'm historically like a very bummy dude, like historically. Very bummy. Like,
but four, the glow up is real? Or?
Nah, it's just, I'm cleaner now, like just in my daily activities. So like, this hoodie, I don't know when I washed this hoodie the last time. I had this hoodie on I don't even know how many times, probably like at least 10 times. You know what I'm saying?
But that's like, do you really need to wash a hoodie that much?
But I wear the same thing like 3-4 days in a row sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I feel
just,
that though.
I'll just be locked in the studio or just like on the road or something. I just don't care. And I don't even realize. And I'm like, damn, it's been 3 days. I need to like shower or something. But
showering is important.
Everybody else gets on
undergarments
me.
Should be shifted.
Like, they start yelling at me on tour.
But it's like, you really feeling a fit. Like, I feel a sweatshirt for, like, a week, and I just want to wear it all the time.
Yeah, or if I get, like, a sweatsuit, like, when I first got, like, that new Nike Tech suit or whatever, I'll just wear it for, like, 2 weeks. Just, like, sweatpants, sweatshirt, like, I'm comfy.
No, it's important.
That's what I wear. Yeah. I wear the same sweatpants every day, really. Like, when I'm at home, I wear the same sweatpants.
Oh, yeah. No, at home is different than being out in these streets.
I mean, it's not, like, touching nasty street things,
CTA bus seats and things like this.
True, yeah.
But all right, so I kind of want to begin by just where you come from.
All right, so I come from Morgan Park, 115th, and Vincennes. I don't know. That's it. My dad is from Jamaica. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
my mom's is from Ohio, Cleveland. So that's like a real big that like plays a big part into everything. My mom is like a painter, and my dad is a Jamaican businessman. So
that's so vague.
Sounds nefarious.
I just went to Jamaica. So, I love Jamaica.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like we shouldn't speak on your father's business practices, but
I don't
that's
know
okay.
too much.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
And
he gonna kill me.
Just don't send him the link.
Yeah, right. He don't know the podcast.
Shout out your pops though. Yeah, right. Look, I hope one day he does, like, you know, dig through the archives though.
It's like,
man, why can't you talk about my business?
Nah, son? He ain't gonna find you. He's an investor, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Right. Of sorts.
Wow. All right, I feel you. So was there music in the house when you were coming up?
For sure. I remember the first. I can remember. It's always like real visual with me too. I can remember all the. I always have a visual, like, whatever memory of the music. Like, my parents got divorced when I was 3, but my dad left like a bunch of Public Enemy tapes, like a whole drawer of Public Enemy tapes, and like reggae stuff like that. And then my mom, she was just playing everything. She had Life After Death when I was 6. Like, that was crazy. To like, she brought me Life After Death. She played it in her car and like didn't really like it that much, so kind of threw it in the back seat, and that's how I got it. And then I was 7 years old, and then like I had 2 older cousins, so I was always stealing their music.
What were they listening to?
Michael Jackson, Crucial Conflict. It was that Final Tick joint, and Bone Thugs a lot, and Coolio.
Shout out Coolio.
Shout out to Coolio. I used to love Coolio.
Yo, he was on like the All That intro or something.
Yeah.
All That.
Yeah.
That was a joint. And then it was the first CD was Special K. I Got a Man.
Yeah.
It was yellow as hell with the red. No, Positive K, my bad.
Positive
talking
K.
About Special K. Positive K. And I had that, and it had like 4 remixes on it, and I used to just listen to the whole thing all the time. And I was real young. I don't know.
It
was always music.
Did you? At what point did you start to think about yourself and music, or were you? I mean, at what point did you go from I'm listening, I'm starting to, you know, I'm feeling it, and then maybe I can do what? Like, what was your first entry into?
It was never really like a conscious thing. That's like, you know, people always talk about hip hop and the 5 pillars and everything, but I didn't even see it like that. Like, I knew I liked to like I was energetic, so I would like break dance and stuff like that, or spin on the floor saying I'm break dancing. But to any kind of music, to rock music, to anything.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, like, you know, I liked to look at graffiti, so I thought that was cool too. And then separately, I started writing poetry when I was like, I don't even know, just real young.
Why?
I don't know. I think I was just sad as hell. And I thought that, like, I thought if you were sad, you're supposed to write poetry. So so I just started, like, writing poetry. But it was really, I was writing raps for real. And then.
But how do you, I mean, did you think you were writing raps? Or you?
Nah, but I just listened to so much rap that, like, you know, I just thought, like, oh, I'm sad. I need to put it on the page. Like, I don't know why I thought that. But I just started writing. And then. It kind of morphed, and then I started making beats, and then I put them both together. And I'm like,
But is that something you knew to do, or you just instinctively?
I wanted to make beats because my older cousin made beats, and he had a MPC 2000 that I got now, finally.
You got his or your own?
I got his.
Oh, wow.
That he used to never let me touch, and we used to, like, get into big fights, and he would beat me up when I would, because I didn't know what I was doing. I would delete his whole beat trying to make a beat. And he would be really pissed. So I always thought that was cool, and I wanted to do that. But I never thought about, like, oh, I could rap. I could put my poetry on these. I don't know why I didn't click. I was just doing them both separate. And then making beats. Like, people knew I made beats. So when my school had a party, I was, like, in ninth grade. And they were, like, they needed a DJ. So somebody, like, was like, yo, you could DJ, right? And I was just, like, lied. Like, yeah, I could DJ. And then, like, got, you know, a little money and went and got some equipment and then and some records and everything, and just started DJing, you know, sampling stuff. It just all, like, everything taught me about the next thing. Like, even today, I might learn something producing that helps me with rapping or with DJing or vice versa. So,
but when you were ninth grade, were you just pressing the space bar?
Nah, because it wasn't even a computer involved then. I had to, man, actually, right down there on 600 North Michigan, I used to come down there to Virgin to the record store. And it's a Forever 21 now. But I used to come down there to Virgin, and they had all, like, the new hot records. So I would get whatever was on MTV that week, you know, the 2 weeks. It was a lot of, like, Ludacris and stuff like that. But I got all those vinyls. And then that's why I needed some money ahead of time to do this shit. Because, like, vinyl was expensive back then. It was, like, $6, I think, just for right there it was, at least, just for, like, a single. So
yeah, and heavy as fuck.
Yeah, and so I'm carrying all this stuff around, the speakers, everything. It's way easier now. Let's bring my computer.
And is this Morgan Park High School?
No, I actually went to University of Chicago Lab School in Hyde Park. I was at Clissold. It's a CPS school until, like, sixth or seventh grade. I was always, like, a good student, but then I got into it with my teacher the last year, I guess.
Over what?
Oh, man, so much shit. I was just, like, coming into... I don't even know, adolescence, I guess, or just, like, I don't know, just, like, being awake, like, being a person type thing, you know what I mean? And we just always got into it. Like, I told her one, like, you know, stupid stuff, like Columbus. I was like, Columbus didn't discover America. I brought in a book by Ivan Van Sertima called They Came Before Columbus. And I had, like, you know, all this evidence, and I thought it was really cool. Like, look, I found... that this is wrong. Like, he didn't discover America. And, like, I had so much evidence. I was like, his own journal said it. Like, I had so much stuff. And she straight up gave me a detention for interrupting class. And then she gave me a Saturday detention after that, which is, like, you got to come and sit in the class all day. Sometimes they tell you you're going to, like, scrub toilets and stuff.
What?
But you really got to just, like, clean chalkboards and, like, stuff like that.
I didn't know that was a real thing.
I feel like that's illegal now, maybe.
Definitely had to clean chalkboards and stuff, but it sucked.
That the politics were you getting from just your own reading, your own, you know, like, were you just running into libraries, or were your parents or your mom's political?
I had that book in the house already, and my dad was real political, And I think that, like, my mom just, like, knew that it was, like, the right time to, like, introduce me to the to those books and that type of thinking. So, yeah, definitely, like, definitely, I forgot the question.
Not, not just about where you got your politics, but
you It was in the house. The Public Enemy tapes, man. Like,
yeah.
It was just always there. Like, it's just, you know, I didn't know that it was that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know it was something different. Like, I thought everybody knew Columbus didn't really discover America or whatever.
It's crazy when teachers, like, don't encourage you to question shit, right. You know?
Yeah. And she, oh, man, she was a horrible teacher. I egged her house many years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Allegedly.
Paintball.
Allegedly.
Paintball. Allegedly. She knows it was me.
Okay. All right.
But nah.
So, but so this is you're in Hyde Park in what, this is the 90s?
No, or the aughts? I think, let me think. I think it was, I was born in 1990, so.
Okay, so you were,
I was like 14 when I transferred to Hyde Park. They were actually trying to hold me back in CPS, and my teacher was telling me, like, you'll never get into this private school. I used to work there. Whole time, she never worked there. She, like, shadowed there for one day when she was a student teacher or something.
Damn.
So, yeah, I ended up getting in, and she was, like, super salty. And, yeah.
Damn, she does suck.
Yeah, she really sucked. Like, she was, like, I've had great teachers in my life, but she was, like, the worst. She was the only, she was probably the only bad teacher I ever had.
Did you find someone at lab school who encouraged you to continue pursuing creativity in hip-hop?
Definitely. I mean, the school, as I was a real wild kid. I did a lot of bad things. Well, not like too bad, but you know, like definitely get in trouble, like you know, graffiti and stuff on buildings you shouldn't do that on.
What would you write?
ENFA, infrared. You know, I don't even know if I... Has it been 10 years? I could say this, right? It's been 10 years.
I mean, this is all legend.
Statute of limitations.
You know, allegedly, something happened Frank Lloyd Wright buildings. I don't know.
Oh, wow. But okay. Ooh. Oh, I know.
I didn't know who Frank Lloyd Wright was. I was like, hey, those buildings look cool.
Amazing.
But
would be cooler with this.
Exactly. Like, if I'm going to write my name on something, it should be on the coolest looking building. And that's the coolest looking building. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So they were always, like, surprisingly... When I look back, they were surprisingly supportive of me. Because they knew the whole time that I was, like, doing this and that, but, like, they never really, like, brought the hammer down on me all the way. They kind of just try to, like, put me in a different direction. But I met a lot of kids that definitely encouraged the hip-hop thing, and we had studios and stuff like that.
So who are some of the people that you came up with who encouraged you to do that?
Man, we had a crew called the Wiggity's Crew. Rocket Power, I'm pretty sure. It was like my homie Mike Bump, Jackson Duncan, like a bunch of the people at 119 Productions.
Oh, wow, true.
And, yeah, shout out 119.
Yeah, like Ben Gershman, who lives in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
Freezy, all the old homies, Kendall, you know what I'm saying? It was a wild time.
These are all lab school folk, or these
Yeah, these are just lab kids. Okay. It was all just rapping, you know, in the basement, smoking weed and stuff. And just like we made so much music, like hundreds of songs, thousands of songs, but like the internet wasn't like it is now. We always wonder, like, what would it be like? But I don't know.
Yeah,
it's probably better in a way because a lot of it was like really bad, but it was fun. So.
And so, because Hyde Park was also, I mean, and continues to be, but in that era, especially, in some ways, was a nexus for a lot of the hip hop community in the city. So, did you venture?
That was Hyde Park, like Dr. Wax, like,
right?
You know, the Wall, the Graffiti Wall, like those are two definite like hangouts, like.
And would you begin to meet people from other schools who are also invested, interested
exactly.
in the culture?
That's how like I would meet. Like a Vic Mensa, he was real young, you know what I'm saying? I met a lot of people, Solar Five, you know what I'm saying? We had been around each other for years and didn't know each other. Just like, he had heard stories of things I had done, you know what I'm saying? and didn't know it was me. So like when we finally met, it was like, oh, and like we were like, we already knew so much the same stuff and the same people. So
yeah, because that's the crew that I kind of remember you running with a little bit. Is Q and Lamont, yes, a little bit, and in some ways, like I was telling Tara this beforehand, like this moment of you know, not that Chicago ever had like a era of you know what people maybe call backpack rap, but I felt like you all were paying very close attention to lyrics.
Yeah, it was like a backpack offshoot, I would say. Like there's like an era of Chicago rap that's like, or underground rap I should say, that's like kind of unseen, I would say. It's like you know, between I don't even know what the years would be.
But like, that's like backpack rap, though.
Yeah, like we were all inspired by, you know, the Juices and, you know, Rhyme Fest and all the old cats, Isilla, everybody, you know, that we saw coming up. And we, like, took from that, but evolved it a little bit, I want to say. And then, like, a bunch of people under us went even further.
Right.
Like, lyrics are still important to pretty much everybody from Chicago, you know what I'm saying?
True.
And that's like something that survived from
true
that old, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think that's what's special about Chicago, is they can kind of balance out like lyricism and also, you know, like teeing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. That's just because, like, as things have gone on, people just never lost the lyricism, because, like, you always wanted to show your homies and like people who came before you that you could rap well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's still,
except for G Herbo, sorry.
G Herbo raps.
No, wait, no. I love him, what? but no, I'm sorry. Cause today last night I was at the Young Thug show and Oreo played that song I Like. And that's
just not his most lyrical.
I know.
That's his attempt at a club record. But
literally,
yo, G Herbo can rap. G Herbo can rap. It is not the opinion of WGN or the corner store that G Herbo cannot rap. No, exactly. Also, not only is G Herbo nice, but I think he really is in an interesting nexus of, like, you know, like, ear and attention to the streets mixed with a very lyrical Chicago tradition, in part because one of his mentors is Mickey Halstead, who's arguably one of the illest rappers
in the history
of Chicago.
He goes in that old thing. Now, like, we all looked up to these people and wanted to out-rhyme them and wanted to, like, you couldn't be whack. We were scared to make, like, turn up, like, wavy type music for years. Like, even still, a lot of us, like, from back then, it's like we had to come out our shell to do that. Like,
well, it wasn't fun either. Chicago wasn't having fun in some ways, or at least Chicago hip hop, I would say, wasn't having fun.
You're like, move your chops, though.
And you really were battling. Like, that's one of the other spaces I remember you.
The first thing I ever did was in Chicago was a battle. Like, the first time I came out my house. Like, I used to be on the message boards a lot. The Moment, message boards, and the G4 message boards.
Yeah, Galapagos, shut up.
Because Typical Cats and that Moment album, Ritual of the Moment, still two of my favorite
Amazing,
albums.
Amazing, man.
And, like, two of the most influential albums to me. And so I used to be on those message boards, and one of the dudes was like, yo, it's a battle in Wicker Park. Like, come out.
That's why I remember seeing you. What was the name of that battle?
It was Rhyme Spitters.
Yo. Yeah. And shout out to Rhyme Spitters. I will say this. That was 14. One of the wackest battles I'd ever seen in my life, though.
It was crazy.
But did you win?
It was 64 MCs, and I made it to like 8th or 7th or something.
Because
I was 14 years old, and I had never battled anybody before.
So. And it was the first bunch of rounds were out on the blacktop of the basketball court in Wicker Park.
But what was the age range, like that age?
I was only 14 year old.
To grown ass man.
Sure. Oh, wow.
To grown ass man.
It was all grown people and grown.
Guess
angry
you got
men.
Bars then.
Yeah,
you want to spit something real quick?
All that shit was just like, back then, it was immature.
But you were actually freestyling.
Yeah, I was actually freestyling for sure. And I had my mom with me. Like, my mom brought me there.
And you were I remember you being. I remember you being funny.
Yeah.
And
I tried to just always crack jokes, because that's all I could really do. What I felt like I could do. Like, I knew I was the kid. You know, I'm 14 years old. He's a grown man, like. Everybody's already laughing at me, so why don't I just, boom. If I say something funny, acting like you're really gonna laugh. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's where that came in.
Shout out mom though.
Yeah, she For was real? There the whole time, standing there.
It wasn't her idea. Like she
no,
heard
no,
about?
It wasn't oh, her idea. Oh, okay, she just okay. you know.
I'd be like,
that'd
wow,
be amazing
mom,
though.
On it.
But she didn't know Son. What she was getting into. Right. I had never been to Wicker Park before. So I had culture shock and everything. I got up there. I was like, what
where
the
was
hell?
It in Wicker?
On the basketball park. Court. In the like yeah. on in the park.
Oh, in the park.
In the actual
oh,
park.
Oh, the one that they still have that.
Yeah.
Park. Yeah.
And then the
Wicker
evening.
Park of Wicker Park.
Yeah.
And the
right,
evening
right.
went to what
was called,
the note.
Yeah, the note.
And now it's Flatiron.
Yeah. I was in there drunk as hell and I was like, this is the note.
Yeah.
Like I looked across the street, I saw the bookstore. I was like, this is the note.
Yeah.
Because when I was rapping in there, my mom was at the bookstore. So.
That place was
no, yeah. But after that, I feel like I lost touch with you a little bit, and so yeah,
I was hurt, really,
really.
I was very hurt.
How so?
Because when I lost, you know, that was the first time I ever did anything, and so when I lost, even though I had done all these things, you know, I'd been in a club, like it's like 8 Mile to me, like I'm visioning this like victory, you know what I'm saying, and then I lost and I was so hurt. I had never lost a battle before, let alone like.
But this is when you're 14.
Yeah, that's
but
what I'm
you,
saying. Like back
the
then,
first
it
time
hurt
you,
me. Like
you battled, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, like I've been like you
Little
know
battle.
With your friends at
right,
lunch
right,
or
right.
whatever, but like in front of people I don't know, in front of people older than me, and, like in a club, like there's people
your,
cheering
over
yeah.
a beat,
your
over
pride
a beat. Actual
was
freestyle.
Yeah,
yeah,
like my pride was hurt. Like I just didn't know how to take it, and so I definitely didn't want to come battle, like come out the house and battle. I definitely didn't want to, like, you know, be embarrassed again because it hurt for real. So
what did you start to do?
I just retreated into my basement and just started recording a lot. And so
for how long?
For probably like 6 years.
Damn.
That's, I feel
but,
like, that, yeah.
But during that 6 years, I was still doing little stuff. Like, I used to DJ for a lot of different people, like Nate, you know, Nate Marshall. And
when he did what?
DLP.
Yeah,
he had a crew
called
yeah.
DLP.
Oh, wow.
And they were dope, him and Lamar. They had a nice sound.
Yeah, we used to have shows all the time at, like, Spoken Word Cafe.
Yeah,
on 47th
and
King. And then Def C, of course. I used to DJ for Def C. So I was still around, and I was recording them, too. And you
producing,
know, my, and producing
too.
And making my own. So I was just kind of...
And that's how your name started to come up, I think, is like through the production efforts.
Yeah,
and, of course, you were DJing, but I also felt like your name began to be associated with a lot of that era's project. I don't know if you ever worked with David Koresh either, but...
But we was, like, definitely around the same people all the time. Like, you know, I would go to... That was another era. That's when I came back, actually.
Okay.
Now you just reminded me. It wasn't, like, 6 years. It was maybe, like... 2-3 years.
Because, felt like 6.
Yeah, like when that whole like people were doing all those loft parties and stuff, I like showed up to a couple of those and would like get on the mic and like try to battle people or like diss whoever was
at parties.
Yeah, like
nice.
I would come to your party like if you were performing and I had my homies and I just like grab the mic and start doing my diss song or whatever. And one time somebody started booing and I was like, and I cut the music. I was like, who's booing? Who's booing? Like, battle me right now. Like, I was one of them kind of angry dudes, you know? And so the whole party got silent and then nobody wanted to battle. So I was like, yeah, that's what I thought, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I go outside for like 15 minutes. I end up leaving. And then, like, an hour later, I get a call, like, yo, this dude, Dave Koresh, up here, he said he'll battle you. And I'm like, I'm all the way at home. I'm not finna turn around to come, you know what I'm saying? It's like 45 minutes to come back up there. But everything ended up being
cool. So y'all
cool.
met on the blacktop later?
Nah, we actually never met up like that. It's like, I didn't meet up with him till like a couple years later through some mutual friends. Just on some completely different stuff.
No, shout out Dave Koresh.
But y'all ever battle, though?
Nah, we never battled.
Dude was nice, though. Dude
yeah,
is
he
nice.
Was, he is
yeah.
nice.
And now I think it's
I
pursuing.
I seen him a while ago at South by Southwest, I think, somewhere. I saw
I'm
him.
Not
he's
familiar. Still,
he's kind of, I would say he's like before this younger, like the era of folk who are on now. I think Dave precedes that by a few years.
Yeah, it's like right above that.
Yeah, and I think was like in some ways poised to really make
but
a move.
Who
I
is,
think
yeah,
who
it was
you
like
say
him,
his contemporaries are
Zach Wicks. They was like the same time. I feel like
yeah. Rest in peace, Zach. Too.
Yeah, Zach was tight.
Yes,
And yeah, I don't know.
But
them dudes are definitely heavily inspired by all the super bars, the super Chicago bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could definitely
Daniel
tell,
and
like,
him.
All of them.
And that era is, I think, and this is something that I haven't really thought about for a long time, that era is so influenced by battling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that there is a tradition of battling in Chicago that you couldn't, and you know, in some ways this is like, you know, hip hop generally, but you couldn't really get on the mic unless you could potentially also hold your own in a battle because you might get challenged.
For real. And nobody wants somebody representing Chicago, you know, if you can't hold it down.
Right.
And
so yeah. Because the next then I heard of you as a producer was then as a DJ and as a DJ, I mean, for, because you DJ for Mick.
Yeah.
And so how did the two of y'all link up?
Well, that's a hilarious story there, because I fell off again of the face of the earth when I went to college. Right.
Okay.
Did you leave Chicago?
Left Chicago. I went to D.C. to go to Howard University. It was tight. But, you know, I was hustling out there. I had a little opportunity, you know, knew some people in California.
More vagueness. Okay.
I started, you know, doing illegal things.
Not and, allegedly.
Allegedly.
No,
right?
No, yeah. I got caught for all this.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
I served my time.
Okay.
For that.
Okay.
But, my third year at Howard, I got arrested with a whole bunch of weed, and I had to go home. My lawyer was like, yeah, you need to go back to Illinois. Told me I had to drop out of college. That sucked.
Damn, you went 3 years? That's almost done.
Yeah, exactly. It was my first semester of my junior year, and so I had to come back home. I was on probation. I got probation for 3 years. Luckily, transferred it back to Illinois. I came home, supposed to be staying far away from weed. Like, I was working in a warehouse, driving a forklift, like all this. And I'm still trying to keep my music dreams alive, so I got a little studio
that's
on the
like,
side.
That's like 8 Mile.
Right, I got a little...
Oh my God,
like real life.
I was driving a forklift, getting hungover, falling asleep. Falling off of it, my homies crashing the forklift through the wall because we was drunk the night before. I got a studio on the side, and I'm selling weed, and I'm not supposed to be around.
Oh, is this allegedly
weed? No, this is what was happening at that time.
And this is so, after you already had to
right.
Drove a forklift drunk?
Yes.
I feel like that happens terrifying? More often than you would think. I feel like
it happens way more.
Yeah,
often.
I feel like that's sure. probably. Forklift should be accompanied by.
Right. So Mick was trying to find weed on Twitter. I'm like, yo, who got some weed? Woo, woo.
Oh, wow.
Somebody sent him to one of my homies. So he comes through, and that was like when everybody met. And then he just keeps coming through. And then finally, all my beats started disappearing. Like, because I had my homies making beats for me too, because I was going to rap. I was going to make my rap push. And, all my good beats start disappearing. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, yo, we gave him to Mick. I'm like, the new dude? Like,
well, what year is this?
Probably like 2012.
This is Mick Jenkins.
2013.
Yeah, Mick Jenkins.
Truth?
It was before year? Trees and Truths. Okay. But it's like the start of Trees and Truths, maybe. Like
the What's Up
recording.
Do you have beats on that?
No. But okay. Most of those beats I either found the samples or bought the records. So But yeah, so my homies made most of them beats, and so
and your
that I want
this is them people or this
oh,
is
on God,
it's on God, yeah.
On God, yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty mad. Like, where's my beats at? Then I listen to it, and I'm like, damn, like this is great. Like, dude is like, I would never have done that on this beat. Like, I would never have thought to do that. Like, and I was just blown away. So I was on board at that point. So. Then he told me he needed a DJ. I was like, oh, I could DJ. Boom. It just worked out.
You'd improved since the ninth grade?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew what I was doing that. Well, actually, I had trained his DJ at the time. So
Mick's DJ.
Right. His first DJ. So his DJ came to me like, yo, I really don't know what I'm doing. Like, you should just DJ. I'm going to play the drums. And I was like, all right, that's cool. So we just started rocking like that. And
you guys got out of here, right? I remember you were gone for
a while.
A while, like, I mean,
It's all been a blur since then, for real. Like, it seems like all the same year to me. Uh-huh. But I know it has. I know it's been like 4 years, but it seems like it's been the same year, like the same blur. Like, because, you know, you go away for 3 months and it's like you're living the same day over and over, and then you come back home, but all your friends haven't been living the same day. You feel me? Like, they had 3 months
right.
of life, and you were that. Developed and happened without you. You feel yeah. me? Like, so now you're back in the little petri dish. All this stuff's been growing around you. You gotta like try to get back in just to go leave again. You feel me? And come back. So like,
cause where you guys have been all over the world, right?
Yeah, I was just telling him how they always go to South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa's my favorite.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't
Is it
even
Johannesburg
know.
Or Cape Town?
Man, they're gonna kill me. I love both of y'all. I love Josie and Cape Town, but
does one have like a bigger fan base than the other?
Cape Town's hip hop scene, I know, is really lovely.
Yeah, but so Johannesburg, even
they're both so big. I don't know, but
yeah.
Cape Town, I feel like they're both so big. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Cape Town's
it's
like
different
the European
kinds of support,
one,
you know.
Yeah, and then Johannesburg's yeah. like the gritty.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. Johannesburg gonna get the whole city, like the real experience. I want to say, and Cape Town is like a vacation for real, like a resort. Like
it's
the
like
most
a
beautiful
it's like
place
a
on earth.
City in Europe. It's so
yeah,
nice
it is.
There.
Yeah,
it
it's built like a European yeah. city, but the townships are real, you know.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And the townships also, in, I mean, have
down.
Incredible hip hop and graffiti and b-boying and
so dope.
And the culture, like the energy, is so similar to Chicago.
Yeah,
like in, the pain and the
segregation
know.
And the yeah. socioeconomic deprivation.
Well, I mean,
and
apartheid's only what 20 years old, 30 years old,
right?
Yeah,
it's younger than
old.
All of us.
Yeah,
so you know, I like actually the first time I went there, I was on an exchange trip with Lab, and I think I was 14. I think it was right after I had battled. I had never smoked weed before. Went to South Africa on this school trip.
Oh, no wonder you love it.
And
there.
I smoked weed with my roommate.
That's how it happens.
Was
and
it any good?
Life made
I guess
sense.
You wouldn't know.
No, it was good. I mean, I was definitely like out of it. I don't know.
And so in the midst of all of this touring around the planet, which is dope, and you're continuing to produce, you're continuing to sharpen your skills as a DJ, you also begin this talk show.
Wait. I want to know where you got Green Slime from.
Oh, man. I was thinking, like, are they going
to
ask me that?
Yes. Question? And I also all need right. to know what were
you
your
truth.
Rap names when you were little.
Oh, okay. I can definitely do that. I started my old rap names. Info Red. My homie that I had met on the message board, his name was M80. So we had like a little rap group. I was like Infrared. I'm supposed to be like the little beam or whatever. And then I line it up and then he, boom, finish you off. Right?
Alley-oop.
So yeah, that was like our little thing. And then I was Ill Cosby. And that's a lot of people knew me as Ill Cosby for a while. That was like the sixth, that was like
that
the come to your party
now.
And diss
yeah.
you thing. Like that was Ill Cosby. The coldest was Ill Cosby the coldest. And then
I fuck with that.
When I was Ill Cosby, that's high school, you know, I'm 16, 17. My homie comes back from college and he gives me way too much acid, which I had never like experimented with. So I went nuts. Like for 2 days straight, I was hallucinating. 2 weeks straight, I just wasn't right. Like I wasn't the same.
Mm.
But, on that trip, we were at the lake, and it was like it was green slime, like on the ground. It was green slime in the ocean, in the lake. I'm saying it was green slime coming out the water.
Is it like Nickelodeon slime?
No, it was more like a scary nuclear type thing. My thinking at the time had been like, and my homie's rap name at the time was Pimp Jong Il. And this is in like 2006.
Uh-huh.
So like there's no, you know, we know who Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il is at mm-hmm. the time, but like it's not like it is now. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hope this is not prophecy, your
right.
vision. Yeah.
It might be. So man, I don't even want to say his birthday, but anyway. it's crazy. But he Pimp Jong-il. So he yeah, so I start thinking like we have a mixtape, like, and I just start thinking like, what if there's like nuclear waste, like, you don't know what this, what they're dumping in the water. I was like, what if it's all this nuclear waste in here? Like, what if it, what if I fell in the water right now and it like consumed me? And I was like, I had this vision of me being like a Godzilla type monster. And I was gonna like, you know,
while you were tripping.
Yeah. And I was gonna like, you know, be stomping on banks and like all this cool stuff. Just like an indestructible big green slime Godzilla monster. It was like all the, the, you know, toxic stuff that they put on us or whatever, and it had like made me stronger or whatever, made me indestructible type thing. So that's where it came from, and I just rolled with it forever from then. I think the original name was Slimezilla, and then it just was slime, the, and then it was just green slime.
To the two L's always.
Yeah,
there?
And it was always two L's too, because since Ill Cosby,
right,
I always had Ill in my name.
So
when I switched to slime, I just made Ill backwards. So two L's.
Plus green slime, like with two L's, is more.
It's like me more.
Right, yeah, sure. Instead of generic.
Yeah. Illinois, I don't know. That like Ill State shit, you know. Yeah.
Ill was just always like in my name as a kid too, so except for Info, but.
Side note, I had a bong called Kim Bong Il.
Wow. See, you telling the future right here. He would probably be so mad.
Definitely broke it.
He's a fly dresser though. Well,
is he?
Kim Jong
suited up.
Which
Kim Jong
Il
was a fly dresser.
Kim
Jong
Un is one of the brother or
the
son.
The brother,
son.
Yeah, son. Whack.
The son, he can't dress.
Pops.
Kim He's like Jong the dumb Il, one, right?
He had the Gucci glasses.
I mean, I don't.
Well, they're all dumb.
I don't even know. I don't know enough about him to really know. I know that that man, Kim Jong Il, had the fly suits.
True. So, show. Can we talk show?
But one more comment.
Really?
Zoo, your song Zoo with Meg is my favorite song.
Yo, that's crazy because all the songs I make with him, he comes through. We have a bunch of stuff.
But do you rap on that one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, second that's verse. Why I like it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what?
Actually, somebody on tour, they, like, I said, free my niggas, education, and that healthcare. And then we was on tour in Boston, and we was just driving down the street, and I seen that, like, spray painted on the wall. And
oh,
I was
for
like,
real?
Like, yo, that's, I wrote that. That's my lyrics right there. Like, somebody spray painting my shit. And then I got on Instagram and it was on there. And then I met dude at the show. So.
Oh, he must really fuck with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like,
that
was
like
crazy.
That's like a deep cut.
Like, that's when it really hit me. Like, cause that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to say some, you know what I'm saying? I was like, if I'm gonna get on a track with Mick, you know,
is that your
a lot
only
of people
song?
Gonna hear it. Nah, but that was the first one
that
I was rapping on. And I was like, all right, I gotta say something big or whatever, so I wanted to say something that would reach a lot of people, and it was cool to see people spray painting that.
Have you heard that one, Kevin?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Super. Yeah.
Okay, now we can talk about the show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, where can people find it, and what's its entire name?
You can find the show. It's the Broke Ass. Hold on. What is
it? Yeah.
It's Slime's Broke Ass Low Budget Show.
And it's a talk show.
Yeah, we on YouTube, we're on slimeworld.com.
And it's hilarious.
Y'all got merch.
I got merch.
The studio's incredible in which you film. All the backdrops and everything are
Bob.
Shout out to Jackson.
Yeah, incredible.
Bob. Shout out to Bob.
So how long you been doing it?
Ooh, I don't even know. Scott goes in that whole time blur thing.
Right.
But it's probably been about a year. Maybe a little over a year.
It seems like you have a lot of fun when you have people in the studio.
Yeah.
You're all wild out.
I'm trying to get focused on it more. But yeah, we have a lot of fun. And you only see part of it, you know, on the cameras. But we try to give you a good slice.
No, but that's just high-key genius. Like, especially when you do the part where the performer, like, performs a song and y'all just eating, like, pizza or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Well, because
and it's like the backdrop. Y'all got like the green screen.
Yeah. It's just like, let's just do it how, you know, we do it. Like, every time I try to put so much effort into something, it's just a pain in my ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't enjoy it. Like, I like to have fun. I like to, you know, I'm not in this to be feeling like that, to be feeling like trapped by my own work or like, you know what I mean? Like
organic. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to organically create. That's why even like, you know, collabs and stuff, like, it's just gotta be organic. Like, I gotta know you or whatever. But My bad. What was the question?
No, it's oh, definitely no, it's definitely yeah. like it's lovely to see. And you had the classic. You had Sharkula on the joint.
Hey,
which is amazing. We got to get
that's
him.
That's one of my
we gotta,
heroes.
Oh, me too, man. He's in Chicago.
Didn't he tweet like I'm gonna leave or something?
He did, but I was like, my man, you can't. And I think he's like, okay, well, maybe I'll consider.
Yo, his drink know? Is what is cranberry drink? And vodka. Pretty sure that's his drink.
Probably.
I seen him out and somebody gave him a cranberry vodka. I was like, hey.
Yeah, that dude's
drink
legendary.
Beer with Shark Man.
Well, I guess you know, before we wrap up, what are some things that you're working on now?
I got a bunch of episodes lined up for the Slime Show. Just constantly like coming out with new ideas for that, cause like.
But tell them how you met Bob.
Oh man,
so good.
Ooh, Craigslist. Yeah, I was looking for some Craigslist actors.
But does he look like that naturally?
Yeah, he looks like that. That's amazing. Real hair. He's a really cool guy. He scares me.
What does he do in regular life?
I don't know what he does, but he like, you know, we're always doing funny stuff with him, and he like pulled me to the side the other day, and he was like, you know, I'm not a real funny guy. I'm not a real cool guy. I'm not that cool, and I'm not that funny. This is hard for me to be funny. And I was just like, I got felt threatened when he said that. And I was like, well, you're doing great.
He's so amazing.
That's so real.
But so amazing.
Yeah, he's tight.
And I love the one with Katie.
Katie coming soon. She had me scared.
And music?
Oh, yeah, I got a bunch of, oh, man, I don't even know. I got a bunch of stuff coming with Mix Project.
Yeah.
He's dropping, oh, like, yeah, three tapes.
So, incredible.
I should be on all of them unless he cut me. You know what I'm saying? And then we might do a tape later this year. And then
were you going to rap?
Yeah, because we got, like, three or four songs right now. It's just, like, chilling. And then I got a bunch of songs with, like, Kari and...
Cardi's safe.
You know, everybody, yeah, I usually kick it with over at the spot. And then like a collab tape with just a bunch of people from Chicago, and then some beat tapes, and then my rap tape.
Wow, so, that's great, man.
I'm waiting for that rap tape.
Yeah,
man.
For real.
I have 45 songs done right now. I just don't, I have to organize them. Drop like, you know, a few at a time.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, what are some of the things that are inspiring you now? What are you, ooh, you know, and you know, cross genres. I mean, music certainly, but stuff
you TV, like what you're reading.
Well, I'm real inspired by like childhood and memories and stuff. But in terms of like new stuff, cartoons for sure. Like Rick and Morty is great. What's the other one? Mr. Pickles. That I like cartoons, yeah. Music, it's hard for me to, it's so much music, so it's like it's hard for me to actively look for it. It always just like comes to me some way, unless I'm in the record store. But yeah, sometimes I just hear something and I just get obsessed with it and I gotta play it, like, you know, like that Rihanna, oh my god, when she dropped
No,
I didn't hear that one
that
yet.
One's
when
she, dope,
but like when she dropped Work, I was so embarrassed at the time when she dropped Work. I lost my mind. Like, I couldn't stop playing it. Like, I was playing it in the shower. I was playing it in the car. I was playing it with the homies. I was playing it with my girl. Like, that was my joint. Now, yeah. I always cut it off when Drake come on, though. You know what I'm saying?
True. But, I feel that way about Plain Jane, the Ferg song.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
I think Kirk Knight produced that joint, my homie Kirk.
Did he? I love so. Kirk. Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
He's right? The nicest.
Yeah, he's a nice, so nice dude. He's a cool man. I left my shoes at his house. I hope you ain't sell them.
I was in New York and I saw him at Kith and I wanted to say hi, but I didn't feel like being like, oh, I'm this person who interview here and yeah, this.
Like, I interviewed,
you could introduce yourself.
I know, but just you know.
Yeah.
I know how I be.
Yeah.
Stay I went cut. On a whole tour. Redman and Method Man, my favorite rappers.
Some of them. Some of them. Yeah.
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 But definitely when I was like in high school, for sure. Like, from 9 years old to 18 years old, there was no question, number one. But first tour I ever went on was 40-something dates with them, and I was scared to say anything. You know what I'm saying?
That's
dope, I didn't
want
to be that dude. Like,
right.
Oh, my God.
Fangirling.
How could I even tell you this? Like, I was 9 years old watching How High. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Classic. Like, how could I say that?
Did you eventually say what up?
I didn't, but they did. Like, Meth came up to me one night and just started doing blunt tricks. Like, he had the blunt in his mouth and he made it disappear, and then it was in his mouth the whole time and popped back out, and he did the twirl and the smoke and all this crazy stuff. I was like, that's cool. And then like, came up to me the next night when I was outside, and he was like, why you not in the show? Why you not gonna watch the show? And I was like, sure, I'll come in. And then we were in San Francisco, and when I was warming up, I was playing San Francisco Nights by People Under the Stairs, and Redman came out from, like, I don't know where he was, and he was just like, yo, what is this? Yo, this is dope. Yo, what? Yo. And I was like, it's Redman.
He thinks, this is like,
he thinks
my
the song
childhood.
I'm playing is dope. Right. Like, yeah. You never dream. Heard of this? It's People Under the Stairs. Like, no, I never heard of this. So we started, you know, I started smoking around them. They put me on Backwoods, I guess, at the time. I'm back on the papers now, you know.
Well, those are real dudes. Redman especially, I know. I mean, Meth too, but they stay trying to be put on, which I really appreciate about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're humble guys. And I had heard, like, bad stories about Meth, like he was a diva or whatever, but that's not the case. When I was with them, he's like, he's just as cool as Redman. You feel me? They both, like, it's amazing how they act. You know what I'm saying? They treat everybody with respect, and, you know, it was just really crazy, real great learning experience. I don't think there's anybody else I could have learned that much from. And they DJs too. Like,
oh, really?
So much.
Red started as a DJ for
Yeah,
sure.
He started as a DJ. So, like, I always identify with his path. And yeah, like DJ Mathematics, he did the Wu-Tang logo. Like, he made, you know, Mighty Healthy. Like, he made a bunch of ghost beats,
lots of beats right now, too.
Beats now. Like, he showed me a lot of stuff. He was always really cool. He shook my hand in the craziest way ever. It was like 10 handshakes, and I didn't know any of them, but somehow knew them all. Like, my hands just did all the motions. It was
intuitive.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah.
Intuitive. But
he's a genius, really. Them dudes are geniuses.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Well, yo, man, I'm so excited for all the work that you have put in, will put in, all the work that's coming out. Where can people find you and stay in tune with what you're doing?
Twitter, @GreenSlime. That's Green, SLLIME, and SlimeWorld.com.
All right. Yo, man, thanks so much for rocking with us today.
And Xbox Live.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.